4, verses 1 through 13. Now Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, left Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wild. For 40 wilderness days and nights he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when the time was up, he was hungry. The devil, playing on his hunger, gave the first test. Since you're God's son, command this stone and turn it into a loaf of bread. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, "It takes more than bread to really live." For the second test, he led him up and spread all over the kingdoms of the earth on display at once. Then the devil said, "They're yours in all their splendor to serve your pleasure. I'm in charge of them all and can turn them into whoever, give them over to whomever I wish. Worship me and they're yours. The whole works." Jesus refused, again backing his refusal with Deuteronomy. "Worship the Lord your God and only the Lord your God. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness." For the third test, the devil took him to Jerusalem and put him on top of the temple. He said, "If you are God's son, jump. It's written, isn't it, that he has placed you in the care of angels to protect you. They will catch you, and you won't so much as stub your toe on the stone." "Yes," Jesus said, "and it is also written, don't you dare tempt the Lord your God." That completed the testing. The devil retreated temporarily, lying in wait for another opportunity.
These are the words of God for the people of God. And you say, thanks be to God. The wilderness that Jesus was driven into was probably, you know, the Judean desert, which is just south of Jericho. It's where the Jordan River feeds into the Dead Sea. It's very, very quiet there because the sand absorbs almost all the sounds that's out there. There's just not many living things, maybe a few scorpions, which I can do without, of course, you know. So while he might feel he's alone, though Jesus is not alone, because who else is there with him? Well, God, yes.
The devil.
Satan's there too, you know. No matter how good a person you may be, even Jesus, temptation is going to come into your life, isn't it? Evidently, the devil knows what the possible areas of temptation were for Jesus, right? Food from his hunger, or it could be power, or it could be pride. Or ultimately, he said, okay, let me test your God too. Let's see if you get caught, right? We have those same type of areas in our lives. So there are areas of weakness. They're the areas where the devil keeps us chained, shall we say, keeping us from experience what the true freedom could be in our lives through the power of Jesus Christ. What keeps many people from being free, as God would like us to experience, is the fact that we deny the problem. In fact, they say that 70% of alcoholics will not even admit that they're alcoholics. You cannot conquer what you won't admit that you have a problem with. And knowing the enemy will not make him go away. And I don't know about you, when I ignore it, it gets worse. Anybody else have the same problem? Just seems to come back. Jesus himself didn't ignore Satan, did he? What did he do? He acknowledged that Satan was there. He heard him, and he responded with what?
Scripture.
Yes. So Satan knows where you're weak, and so should you, or you can't guard against them. Hebrews 12 says this, "Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has put before us." Key words here, two words, the sin and run. The sin, that infers that every one of us has one biggie in our life, like one major thing that we've been dealing with, probably dealing with it for a long time, and then Paul comes in and says, you better run from it. And why would he say you better run from it? Because every time that you try to move forward, every time you have the same addiction, the same compromise, the same Hershey chocolate candy bar, that same fear is going to be there. It's going to hold us back. And I know you can relate to this, because for some of you, probably it's every time that you get into a relationship and your child is improving, you'll say something and it blows us. Or maybe it's that promotion at work that you're working for, but you can't seem to keep your mouth shut. when we need to do that, you know? So the best way to do this is to get honest with ourselves and to say, okay, God, I know that I've got a problem with this, you know? I need your help. For example, I got this friend, Angie. And Angie, probably 4 years ago, was in this really deep, loving relationship with a man. Unfortunately, the guy decided on the eve of the wedding that he was going to go marry somebody else. He totally backed out of it. Of course, she was devastated. But here's what the problem is. She lets that fear still keep running her life because she'll get in a relationship with somebody that's really excellent, a really good man. The relationship will start moving forward, and guess what she does? She starts thinking about it. She says, oh, same thing's going to happen, and then this relationship will never work. And guess what? It doesn't work. And until she admits that she has this fear, this addiction to getting close in relationships, the same thing is going to continue to happen in her life. So what's the one thing that easily stops you? That persistent sin, shall we call it, that you keep struggling with day in and day out. Although it might seem like it, the enemy really doesn't have any new tricks. It seems like it gets presented, but what we have to recognize in our life is no matter how the devil packages it, it's the same sin. Let me give you an example. For example, let's say that you are tempted to overeat. None of us would have that problem. But let's just say that you might have that problem. And let's say that you also get really angry if somebody criticizes you. These would appear to be two different temptations, right? But really, if we sit and we analyze them, they all come down to the one thing. They come down to self-esteem. You don't see yourself as God sees you. You don't see yourself as totally loved the way you are. So when you feel like you're not loved, what do? You go to comfort food, right? And we overeat. And then when somebody criticizes you, what's it hurting? It's hurting your ego. So basically, same temptation, different temptations, same sin that we're fighting, right? And you're only going to overcome it when you acknowledge that is what it is. It's the sin of not really loving yourself, as God commands us to do, and then decide that you can defeat that through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And it may seem like letting your fear, worry, or stress, or whatever your problem might be, is a small thing. But you know what? This one thing, whatever it is that temptation, which is going to keep you from ever being that person that God created you to be. You've got to make up your mind. You've got to say it every day. You've got to say, this is new day, and through the power of Jesus Christ, I will not go into temptation. If you don't take a stand, and you don't call it what it is, and don't recognize it, guess what? All your life, you're going to have the same temptation. In fact, it's going to happen year after year after year, and you know what eventually it happens? It becomes regrets. How many of you have a few regrets for things that you know that you've done in your life that you could have changed? Okay, two of them, no. All of us, right? But we don't have to be a slave to self-pity. We don't have to be a slave to anger or a bad attitude or feeling inferior. You know, God created us to be free, to break from those chains. So we need to get rid of the thing that so easily sets us back. So how do we resist that temptation? Well, Jesus tells us today what the very first step is in resisting temptation. You have any idea what it was? Take it to God in prayer. Remember last week, or a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the baptism and everything else, and Jesus went to prayer before he ever went into the wilderness. So before temptation, Jesus is praying. And it tells us in Matthew 26:41, pray that you don't enter into temptation. Notice he doesn't say, pray so that you're never tempted. That's not human. That's not what's going to happen to us. We'll continue to be tempted. He says, pray that we don't what? Enter into what? I'm just trying to see if you're awake. Enter. The reason that most of us keep giving into the same temptation year after year is because we never ask for God's help, you know? We keep thinking we can overcome it on our own, don't we? I am strong enough to think me out of eating that chocolate chip cookie. I am strong enough to keep me from drinking that other beer. I'm strong enough to keep me from worrying about what everybody else in the world thinks about me. We don't even ask it to God. So you got to humble yourself. You got to get up in the morning and you got to say things like, oh God, I don't want to be critical and judgmental. Help me be merciful and compassionate. I don't want to say the wrong things or say words that I shouldn't use or go to the wrong place. You know, help me to guide my steps, you know. God, I don't want to watch the wrong things on TV. Or God, I'm tired of worrying about what everybody thinks every minute of the day. Help me resist this temptation, Lord. Ask God to help you because God has that power to overcome that temptation for you. But you know, the scripture says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? Don't we all have good intentions? How many of us go into the new year every year and have this New Year's resolution that we're going to do something, right? Whether it be lose weight or get in shape, whatever it must be, you know? And I've decided that if, whatever you're struggling with, whether it be addiction or anger or bad relationships or whatever it is, we have the best intention in the world of fixing it, right? We do. But what do we eventually find out? We're not strong enough. And we're right back to it again. And every time we do it, how do you feel? You feel guilty. You feel bad, right? So we have to learn to pray to get stronger in those areas that God, that the devil knows we're weak. And you can't wait till you're in the middle of a temptation before you say, Lord, help me, you know? We have to learn to build the reservoir. We have to learn to pray ahead of time. We have to get up in the morning and say, Lord, I know that I'm going to probably get angry with somebody today or blow my top. Lord, help me control that anger today. Or Lord, I know that when I get to the cafeteria that mac and cheese is going to be calling to me, right? Lord, help me to do that. Or maybe I'm one that lets my emotions run away with me. Lord, help this day for me to be calm and to control my emotions and give me the power through your name to do this. So we have to learn to pray ahead of time. And then we have to also remember another thing that Jesus has taught us, because when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, do you remember that? Right after he went, is at the Lord's Supper, right? He goes to Gethsemane. He's about to be crucified. He knows there's going to be very, very difficult times ahead when he's going to be discouraged and he wants to give up. What did he do? He prayed. Yeah. He went to the Father and said, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but whatever your will is my will. This is what's really interesting about that, because I got to thinking about it. Peter did the opposite, didn't he? What did Jesus tell the disciples to do? He told them to pray with him, didn't he? And what did the disciples continue to do? They slept. We sleep a lot of times through our addictions, because we think we will wake up and they'll miraculously be gone, I guess. But they didn't pray, did they? In fact, Jesus was talking to Peter, and he told Peter, Peter, you're going to be tempted to deny me. You better pray, right? They still went to sleep, and then the enemy came, right? And what did Peter do not too long after that? He denied Jesus. I wonder if that story could have changed if Peter had prayed as Christ prayed that night in the garden. Because you see, every one of us is capable of falling into temptation. And giving into temptation, though, isn't worth being sidetracked from where God wants to take us. The temptation always looks good at first. It's never that good, is it? It always takes more and more and more of whatever we'll be tempted of to satisfy. But does it ever truly satisfy? It doesn't, does it? There's nothing worse than going through life and let a temptation hold you back that you know with God's power and God's help you can overcome. And I know that there's people sitting in this audience today that have found out that you can overcome addiction and a number of other things through the power of Christ. So what is that one thing that's easily defeats you. Have you even sat down to think about what that might be? During Lent, this is the time for you to do that. Identify what it is. Ask God to help you every day. Because if you can learn to defeat it every day, you can defeat it for life. You get up in the morning and say, God, all things are possible for him who strengthens me. Help me make it through this day. Identify what it is. Ask God to help you with it. And then everything, every bondage can be broken. Every chain can be broken. And you can step into a freedom that you have never felt before through the power of God.
These 40 days and 40 nights.